안된 게 서부스야 돼. 디지지당 사들 샀어 맞다. 난저베 그다음 그래권이 싹도 끼에 잡았다. 싹도 끼에 이물을 샤리고 서부셔 됐어 맞다.
The type of deity, the divine body that I'm referring to, is not just a usual divine body of some being, but of the yogis newly cultivating in meditation an appearance of himself or herself as in a divine body. This is what appears to one's own consciousness, mental consciousness.
간다 된대기 패지 최쟁기네 아 최쟁기네 첨비 잡아지면로 전에 잡아지길래야 당군에 대기 가서 그래 바로도 첨비 택배값을 이나 에너지 변화 속속 쉬어기 동이 변화 다도 풍부히 되게 쉬어기 되게 동이 고민되잖아요 최쟁기 나와 마야야 탑시 미세 지겨 말아 최신의 나와리야 찍게 지겨 말아 봐. 좋아. 죄송아. 안다 때 나 그들이야 최신의 나와 민거야지기 최신의 나와도 머누버지는 돼야지 패지 텀에 펜바 동조지 캐지면 넣었는게. 펜바지 패지 당겨 아래. 최신의 누구야? 다 나와도 최신이니 가서 우리 그게 내접 지겨 아래. 최신의 나와니.
Thus when a yogi imagines him or herself is in the body of a deity, as being a deity, and reflects or realizes the emptiness of inherent existence of that divine body, I think there must be some small difference in the force of the consciousness due to this special object, which is the substratum of the emptiness. Then, from another point of view, in the perfection vehicle, as to say of the sutra system, there are no special techniques in which one purposely engages in trying to cause the substratum or subject, the emptiness of which you're meditating on. There's no special technique or emphasis on causing that subject to keep appearing, not to disappear. Whereas in the mantra system, one specifically trains in keeping the appearance of the divine body in the midst of ascertaining its emptiness of inherent existence. Thus, there has to be a difference from this point of
view.
Thus, there is a very important point here in this one consciousness that is imagining the divine body and that is ascertaining the emptiness of inherent existence of that body. And this is described as the consciousness is described as the apprehended aspect, and thus that apprehended aspect or the aspect that which has the aspect of the apprehended is appearing as a deity in the midst of realizing its emptiness. Something like that.
That didn't it? Da, nazar lami lulia, da ini tapsi ngoyer me dia, ini tapsi ngo, da tapsi ngoyer me luti telajang tu sabtu cinta bersih, da, yang ni zaman dah si cahyungi, ini lada tarlu ya le.
Then in highest yoga tantra,
oh, tengah yang dua sambil ke, telajang, ini yang tapsi ngoyer me cilu cikshe ya le.
Then there is an even more profound mode of the undifferentiability in entity of method and wisdom.
That di, example, tapsi ngoye mi ji yong ya jik le ya, nan zhuo bei ga su ri ba, an de zuo ga qi dan, an de ba, an de di zuo ga qi dan, zuo ga qi dan zhi ba, zuo ga qi dan di di yue bei tao la, kang ne du nu si xi da ge ne ji tapsi ngoye mi ji bu tu mo yin bu xiong ge sa le.
These are practices within exertion, and there is a special mode of the undifferentiability of method and wisdom that comes about by way of the concentrated exertion or emphasis that a yogi puts on important places.
Yeah.
Those places, due to a difference, due to the substance, due to that substance or due to that substance on which the yogi with exertion concentrates, there comes to be a difference in the mode of undifferentiability of method and wisdom. This is in highest yoga tantra, and the substance is the very subtle wind and very subtle mind. Now, this basis itself is an entity of, is an undifferentiable entity. To practice this level, it is necessary forcefully to stop the coarser levels of wind and of consciousness. To do this, many different techniques are explained for putting concentrated emphasis at different places in the body, and so forth. This is the practice of the channels, the winds or internal energies, and essential drops of fluid. Now, in general, with regard to cultivating special insight, analytical meditation is what is emphasized.
But
in highest yoga tantra, due to these special techniques, these special factors, stabilizing meditation is what is emphasized at the time of cultivating special insight. Now, in terms of the coarser levels of consciousness, in order to ascertain something, it's necessary to analyze and investigate, right? But in a case when one induces the subtler levels of consciousness purposely, not at times when these just happen naturally due to the power of karma, but when one induces them purposely, then these subtler levels of consciousness, which are states in which the coarser levels of consciousness have ceased, these ones are very powerful and capable with respect to ascertaining meanings, with respect to ascertaining objects. If at that time you engaged in analysis, that would cause the subtler level to cease and you would return to a coarser level. Thus, one does not analyze at that time, and stabilizing meditation is emphasized.
Natural lamigi,
Now, with regard to the mode of meditation in highest yoga tantra, there are two main systems. These systems being within the extremely subtle wind in mind, the one to put emphasis on the extremely subtle wind, and the other to put emphasis on the extremely subtle mind in order to achieve the Buddha body. Now, in most of the tantras, such as Guhya Samaja, Chakra Samvara, and so forth, of the new translation schools, the emphasis is put on both the extremely subtle wind and the extremely subtle mind in order to achieve the Buddha bodies.
Did I get it? Actually,
I think I may have made a mistake. Are there three different ways? One emphasizing mind, one body, and one both? So the two general systems are
two systems. She got the Lunsim Yalo on that. Chickdy, she should tell you some Tangyang on that.
So, in the practice of Guhya Samaja, Chakra Samvara, and so forth, of the new translation schools, the emphasis is put on both extremely subtle wind and mind in order to bring about the achievement of a Buddha body.
Yes.
Whereas in the Kala Chakra system, the emphasis is put only on the extremely subtle mind. And mostly, it seems that in the great seal practice, Mahamudra, and in the Dzogchen, or great completeness practice, the emphasis also is mainly on the mind.
And
what's the general one? Okay, now in general, in highest yoga tantra, there is the practice of putting concentrated emphasis on the channels, winds, and drops. And then within that, there is one group that emphasizes, or that puts concentrated emphasis on the winds, the yoga of the winds. And then there's another group that puts concentrated emphasis on the development of the four joys. And then in general, again, there's one type that doesn't put emphasis on channels, winds, and drops, but puts its emphasis just on non-conceptual, a non-conceptual state. Through sustaining a non-conceptual state. Now this latter one is the great seal practice, Mahamudra, and Dzogchen, or great completeness. Now, prior to engaging in the practice of mantra, it is necessary to receive initiation. Initiation is a matter of one person passing the transmission of a blessing to another person. And even though one can gain blessings, for instance, from reading books and so forth, there's a difference when a blessing is received from a living person, when one living person transmits to another person a blessing. And thus, in secret mantra, the lama comes to be valued very highly. And we've already talked about the care one has to take with respect to a lama. Well, it's, I suppose you meant the other way too, that the lama has to take care and the student has to take care. When practitioners, it said, when practitioners do not bear the true form or proper form of a of the practice, that is a an indication of the of the degeneration of the Dharma. Then within initiations, there are many different variations.
God created any Yamaris lavery. Thank God on a man tells you chavery.
It's said that there's no God creator, but now there are, with initiation and so forth, they get to be a whole lot of gods.
Chedi, Takada, any, that's how did the Karasana?
So now, what are these gods?
Now, as
was said earlier, from the beginning of one's bodhisattva's practice, one is wishing and aiming for a state in which one can bring vast effective help to sentient beings. Thus, due to this wishing, this attitude, this aspiration, When one is a Buddha, one spontaneously and without exertion brings about help to other beings. Now the spontaneous Now for instance, like the shining of the moon, the shining of the reflection of the moon, it has to have some place to shine to for that reflection to appear. In a similar way, the spontaneous appearance without exertion of the form bodies of a Buddha need beings to whom they appear. Now, whether that reflection appears clearly or unclearly, or big or small, depends upon the vessel into which the, say, moon is shining. Thus, the form bodies of a Buddha appear without exertion and spontaneously to trainees relative to the interest, dispositions, beliefs, needs, and so forth of those trainees.
So, today, you know, Zane, Duja, Ta, Kazore, Pena, and you do Oma Tidi, right? You do Oma Hazotidi, Kanda, Sunya, the Su Kang to Shasta, Dujati, any Dunyan Lambda Chicken, Suta Chicken, Dunyan Lambda Chicken, right?
Thus, with regard to the trainees of the four lower tantras, the form bodies of the Buddhas appear in an aspect of making use of the five pleasurable attributes of the desire realm, present, pleasurable, visible form, sounds, and so forth, but not in the context of using the bliss arising from the joining of the male and female organs. Did I say the three lower tantras? And then for those trainees who cannot make use in the path of these pleasurable attributes of the desire realm, the form body appears as a supreme emanation body in the aspect of a monk. But for a person who has the disposition, capability, and so forth of practicing highest yoga tantra, and whose abilities are activated, manifest, to that person, the form bodies appear in the aspect of male and female deities in union.
And
then for those who are capable of using hatred, the factor of hatred in the path, the form bodies appear in a wrathful aspect, and for those who are capable of using, mainly of using desire in the path, they appear in a in a peaceful aspect.
Before, just a moment, there is something I forget.
It is in this context that three levels of practices, activities are described. Activities devoid of desire, vast activities, and the practice of the, or the activities perhaps of the great seal. So just as Shakyamuni Buddha was one person and appeared as one person, so there are deities in the various tantra sets that appear as one soul, single deity. However, with regard to a deity such as Guhya Samaja, in a mandala of 32 deities, this is a case of one deity appearing in 32 different aspects. There aren't 32 persons, there's only one person, and the rest of the deities are aspects of that one person. So, among the deities that appear to us, there similarly would be a single separate deity, but then there would be many different forms.
Separate being. Or person. Just a reflection, manifestation.
Or then
of one
could,
being.
Could be many different manifestations of one being.
Yeah, yeah. No.
So now, doesn't this involve or respond to the question that was asked earlier about deity yoga? The point behind the question. Then you can use what I've been explaining as a key and engage in study, and you'll understand more and more.
That's it. Any, oh, Kanda one never jelly,
After one receives initiation, it is important to keep one's pleasures and vows. Now, when the view is explained, it's important to understand that just as in talking about feeling, we can talk about that which feels and that which is felt, so with the view, we can speak about that which is viewed and that which views.
So, that day, Lamy Golia, Tajis, Sochishu, the subject, Dionysati, subject, Tao, cause a monkshed, Pajis, Eugene, according to it.
Now, in Highest Yoga Tantra, when the term view is used, it is predominantly used, at least in, well, in the context of its distinctiveness, as referring to that which views, the subject that views. Thus, even though there's no difference in the emptiness that is viewed, there is a difference, a distinctiveness in the subject, the consciousness that views that emptiness. It is in this context that Sakya Pandita says that sutra and mantra have the same view. And similarly also in Geluk, there are many statements about sutra and mantra having the same view. The reference is to the object that is viewed, that which is viewed, that is to say emptiness. There's no difference between the emptiness of sutra and the emptiness of mantra. However, in Sakya, again it is said, for instance, that there are four different views in of the four initiations in Highest Yoga Tantra. The view of the vase initiation, the view of the secret, the view of the secret initiation, the view of the knowledge wisdom initiation, and the view of the fourth initiation. So, and then also in Geluk, there's reference to the view of the undifferentiable wisdom and of undifferentiable bliss and wisdom. Thus, in this case, the reference is not to the object that is viewed, but to the subject that views, the consciousness that's viewing emptiness, there being a difference here, even if there isn't a difference in the view in terms of the object that is viewed. And then in Gagyu and Nyingma, it is said that the view of mantra is superior to that of, it's also said that the view of mantra is superior to that of sutra. All of them are referring to a distinctive, more subtle type of consciousness that is viewing.
Sajya
Now in Sakya, there's a presentation of the view of the undifferentiability of cyclic existence and nirvana. It is said that one is to settle the view of the undifferentiability of cyclic existence and nirvana in terms of the causal continuum of the basis of all. Now, with respect to this causal continuum, which is the basis of all, there are differences of explanation among the Indian panditas, and there are also small differences in explanation within Sakya.
Now,
this causal continuum, which is the basis of all, has reference to the reality of the mind. Then within the Guhya Samaja Tantra, there are explanations of different levels of persons, the highest.
Different kinds of.
Different.
Not level, I think different
capacity.
Kinds. Loma.
Students of different kinds of capacity. The supreme of which is called a jewel-like person. The jewel-like person, himself or herself, is described as the causal, could be described as the causal continuum, which is the basis of all. In the Sakya's own system now, the causal continuum, which is the basis of all, is identified by one scholar as the it's the fundamental, innate mind of clear life. His name is Mangtu Ludru Gyatso.
A great scholar.
But then in another system within Sakya, the causal continuum, which is the basis of all, is described or is identified as all of the aggregates, constituents, and so forth, all of the impure aggregates, constituents, and so forth of a person. Now it is said that in the causal continuum of the basis of all, all of the phenomena of cyclic existence are complete in their characteristics. And then all of the qualities of the path, no, all of the phenomena of the path are complete as high qualities. And then all of the phenomena of Buddhahood are complete in the manner of effects.
Kazade,
Now, with regard to the equality of cyclic existence and nirvana, in the sutra system, as Nagarjuna says in his treatise on the Middle Way, I added in the treatise on the Middle Way. And Solanus said he was not sure what it was in. Translator added it. That's mine. I just have it. He says that cyclic existence and nirvana do not inherently exist. The second
one? Renshin meba. Tele ya ini, tinjegita renshin namda di thala,